Wow. I tell you what, the A-Team is amazing, and I did like Murdoch a lot. And I do love it when a plan comes together. And for the next few weeks during the course of this summer, we're going to have fun looking at the thought of what happens when a plan comes together, and what does it take at Open Life to make that plan come all together as we've determined through Scripture. You heard it there. Life's full potential is experienced through Jesus. And therefore, simply stated, one of our core cultures is we're all about Jesus. We're all about Jesus. He's the center of the plan. Check this out. John 1:4 says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." In him was life. And that life was the light of men. God's intent for the beginning of mankind was for us to be in total right relationship with God. And from the moment of original sin with Adam and Eve, he had a plan. He had a plan that Jesus would be the bridge that would once again unite us to God. And so foreshadowed that, you hear all kinds of illustrations regarding that. You see Abraham in the Old Testament commanded to sacrifice his son, but yet God provides a way for him to live. You see that picture of Jesus' death and resurrection through that story in the Old Testament. It continues of people who are basically the Christ, the pre-Christ who would save a nation. And we look at that reflection back, but God knew that he had to do something to save mankind because of our imperfection, our sinfulness, if you would. And so he put in plan instantly this moment where his son would return, become mankind, struggle through the same struggles we face daily, yet find himself at the end of his life without sin. Unimaginable to us, but yet true. And because of that, when he was placed on the cross and gave his life for us and rose again 3 days later, we have the opportunity to have forgiveness of sin. We're going to look at this and you know, the reality that in him was life and still is life. He set a people out to be united, to be in one mind with one voice, a vibrant, radiant, you heard the passage there in Ephesians, a manifold example of God's presence in our world today, the church, right? To take the message of the gospel and bring it today through their life so it'll be made known. That's our call, not just as a church, but as individuals within the church. We need to come ready to be equipped so that we can go and be the manifold expression of God in today's world. I used to listen a lot to a speaker named Jeannie Mayo, who just is an incredible youth pastor in our nation, and she used to challenge you to be Jesus with skin on. And I think that's a great challenge for us today. What would it look like for us to be Jesus with skin on? It's all about Jesus, making him famous, not through one of us, but through each of us. Isn't that an interesting thought? It's not just the pastor's job to make Jesus famous. It's not just the leader's role to make Jesus famous. It's not the worship leader's role to make Jesus famous, although his voice rocks and he's skilled, and you would go, yes, Brent, you are Jesus, you know, but it's not. That's not his job. It's not the Sunday school teacher's job to be Jesus to your kids or the nursery leader or director of that area. It's our job to make Jesus famous. Each one of us, we need to strive to be more like Jesus, that he would be known through our lives, through us. And we would live to be a demonstration that demands basically an explanation of what's different, right? As people and a church, it's easy to become distracted and allow the center of all we do or what we are to be what we do versus who we are. Let me kind of spell that out a little bit. Although you can find personable fulfillment by doing things that we see in Scripture, life is more complete by both being and doing. I think we tend to be one side or the other in anything we do in life. You know, either we're in shape or out of shape. You know, either we're having fun or we're lonely. Either we're, you know, we swing like a pendulum back and forth and back and forth. But we need to both do and be for Jesus. And if we can center our lives around allowing Jesus to work through us, we'll experience peace as we allow that do to just come out of who we are. Versus becoming basically a works mentality. I need to do in order to earn my favor with God. You see people just working their tail off thinking they're going to gain a closer relationship with Jesus when in actuality, they just need to be with Jesus and allow their closeness with Jesus to make them respond by doing more. So before I just belabor on forever about that, many churches ultimately have become stuck in time because they become about what they do versus who they're about. It's real easy to get stuck in program-based methods and instead of being united around this message that Jesus is Lord. God wants us to get this message across versus just saying, well, this is how we do it. Well, what is it if it's not about him? So this is how we land at this thought of it's all about Jesus. We must stay all about Jesus in order to experience the fullness of what life is all about. Check out this. In John 10, 7 and 9 through 10 says this. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, he says. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is saying, I'm the way in, I'm the way out. Not only am I Jesus, do people recognize my voice, but I'm actually the way to get in and out, and we're going to flesh that out a little bit here. At Open Life, we're all about Jesus because there's more. There's more once we gain that freedom, once we gain that connection with God. And today, I want to look at what it is to be aware of God. And no matter where you're at, maybe you're running from God, maybe you're just checking God out, you're kicking the tires of the faith, you're re-engaging with God. Maybe you're far from God and there's just something in you that loves painfulness to hear what you're doing wrong. And so you're hoping today you come and to church and you hear that you're doing stuff wrong again because you just need to hear that. You're motivated by getting beat up. I don't know what your motivation is or where you're at in your relationship with God. But there's more to your experience no matter where you're at on a growth scale. There's more. And if you are new with us today and the concept of God and wanting a relationship with God is just totally foreign, go to our website and listen to the last series that we just went through. It's called Come Home. You can link to the media and podcasts. And we just took 5 weeks and talked about not only how sometimes we run from God, but more so how he runs to us and loves us and has compassion for us, no matter the mess that our life is in. And so when we stick to that, when we know that if we stick to Jesus and his grace, we're going to have a full experience in life, and that's through Jesus. So because of Jesus, there's a few things we're going to look at today. And you, on your handout thingamajiggy, as Jaden said it earlier or whatever, you have a pen and a fill-in. And so you can jot some notes if you're a note taker. If not, you could just gel in and listen today. But number one, because of Jesus, we experience life through redemption. I'm just stuck on this word redemption lately, honestly, in my thought about Jesus and in his desire for the world. And I believe he can redeem so much. watch. Listen to these passages. Romans 3:23 through 24 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus." Again, it's Christ that we find this redemption. Ephesians 1:7-8, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." God's not clueless of who you are and where you're at. With all wisdom and understanding, he gives us the grace to be redeemed. He knows exactly what he's doing with your life. You're not catching him by surprise. He's not going, "Oops, oh, they still stumble and fall. Man, made a big mistake with that one." No, God knows who you are and where you're at. Colossians 1:13-14. "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." There's so many passages we could spend all day just reading them and being encouraged that we have forgiveness of sins and redemption through who? Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Told the story a few weeks ago, but and my mom kind of sold me out too in the first time I ever put her on a mic in 14 years of being a pastor on Easter, and kind of told some stories back and forth about me as a child. I didn't make a decision to choose Jesus as my Lord until I was 21, and one of the things I had an issue with was drinking and heavily to where like I didn't know what I was doing, and then that started in high school. And I remember a cast party for the drama that I was in. I played Seymour, the nerd, in Little Shop of Horrors. It's actually really fun. But our cast party was really fun in a very unhealthy way because we all got absolutely blitzed with our teachers and stuff providing some things for us. And so we do this party, and I'm on my way home from this party driving my friend, and I remember hitting something when I was leaving the party, did not know what it was, went a safe distance in my opinion, got out of the car and just like looked at the front left bumper of my car that was just like, and this was an Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme 1979. It could like hit something and take it out. I had literally knocked over a tree that landed on it with no proof before in a snowstorm. So this car was serious metal, like just steel. It could demolish. A guy rear-ended me once on the freeway and totaled their pickup. And I had this little tiny dent in the back of it. Anyway, so it was a very strong car. So when I saw that it was dented like way in, I was like, uh-oh, what did I do? But I was so just not there. I just remember somehow, by the grace of God, I say this today, I made it home. And I remember when I parked thinking, how do I disguise this to make it look like somebody in this parking lot came and hit my car? So I remember like backing the car up and kind of pushing it right against the wall on the right side, because there's this big brick wall in the Echo Cove apartments we lived in, and made it look basically like someone in the parking lot just went bam and hit my car. That's what I thought, right? Well, next morning I'm ready for my dad to go out and get in the car because he was using it for some reason, or parked right next to me and would see it. Day goes by. 2 days go by. My parents haven't said a thing about the car. I'm like, what do I do? My friend and I are just dying and going, they know, and it's like silent torture, right? I was sure of this. And I remember so vividly, it was coming up towards the weekend where it was Super Bowl Sunday, and we were at a game on Super Bowl Sunday at my friend's house, my parents call, and they're like, and back then it's not cell phone. Like they tracked down the number of the house we were at and called. It was old school. A-team, you know, 80s. Anyway, so we were back here in the day, and my kids asked me the other day, this is a tangent, unintended. They asked me, "Dad, were crayons invented before or after you were a kid?" I was like, dude, Unbelievable. Am I that old? Anyway, so it was kind of funny that you're getting that from your kids now. So we're in this moment where it's Super Bowl back in the 80s. I forget who's playing. That's how important that game is. But we were watching it, and my parents call, and they're like, honey, we have something to talk to you about. I'm like, right in the middle of a Super Bowl party, this is when they're going to unload. They've been holding it in this whole time, you know. And they go, we were at Costco, and we came out. We had taken your car, and when we came out, we saw that somebody in the parking lot hit the car. I was like, they're joking with me right now, and they're seeing if I'm going to confess, because they saw it in the parking lot days ago, and they're just seeing if I'm going to go along. I'm like, are you sure? You know, and I kind of feel it back and forth, and there's this part of me that's excited. I'm about to get away with something really bad. And there's this other part of me that is feeling even worse, because now my parents feel bad like they did it. And honestly, at that moment, I did the right thing, and I kept it a secret. I'm just saying it. To me, at the place where I was at, that was the right thing, because I didn't know Jesus and truth-telling was important. So I did not tell them until I sat down with them at a restaurant after I had chose Jesus and realized I'm supposed to tell the truth after reading the Bible on my own. And I sat down with them and said, okay, the whole car thing with the dent, that wasn't you in Costco. That was me. And they're like, they wanted to kill me. But, you know, it was one of those moments you're just like, sorry I let you live through all that. You know, in the same way, Jesus comes, and he came so that moments like this in our life could be redeemed. Mistakes like this can be forgiven, because we all do dumb stuff like this. Whether it's a little child saying, you know, with crumbs of cookies on their mouth saying, I didn't eat a cookie. You're like, really? You know, and there's cookie crumbs on the ground, and they're all gone. Oh, you didn't eat a cookie, huh? You know, I don't know, whatever the story is. And for you, maybe it's something bigger. And maybe it's a lie to your spouse, or maybe it's embezzlement of funds. Maybe it's, I have no idea. But you've done something, and it just weighs you down. Redemption and forgiveness of sins means lifted, weight gone. Guilt erased. You're redeemed. Like that moment's redeemed. Isn't that powerful? I love the thought of how Colossians says it's transferred. Like the story of that car and my drunk driving and my lie to my parents, that was transferred from being my problem to Jesus taking upon himself on the cross. And he paid the price for it so that now I'm free, totally undeserving. That's what grace is. Isn't that crazy that God would do something that amazing for each of us? We have the ability to transfer things to God. Doesn't mean we should sin the more. It means that we should be all the more grateful for what we have through Jesus. So we have redemption because of Jesus, but we also have, number two, we have the ability to experience life with freedom. You see, we read it already. John 10:9 said, I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And we kind of land on that, but catch what it says right after that. He will come in and go out and find pasture. In and out and find pasture. John 14:6 says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Pretty exclusive, pretty important there. Jesus is the way not only to enter into redemption of God, but to go out in the power and that redemption to impact the world through the simple relationship with Jesus. It says also, Galatians 5:1, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. See, our challenge is to remain in freedom and not to take back upon ourselves those patterns or that bondage or that issue or that sin. And we must pursue living in freedom versus living in the same patterns we had before we made a decision to choose Jesus. Church should not be something you're enslaved to. Church should not be somewhere that you feel you come in and you have less freedom. We should come into church in all freedom to celebrate what Jesus has given us and allowed us to go out and do. We're free to worship Jesus and read our Bible and to pray for people in the name of Jesus. And here we sit on Memorial Day weekend celebrating the freedom we have in our country because people have made life literal sacrifices to protect that freedom we have to be one nation under God. And we should have really grateful hearts for that. It's amazing. We should choose Jesus because through Jesus, we can experience redemption and freedom in life. It goes a level deeper, though, because of Jesus, we experience life abundantly. Number three, we experience life abundantly. John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, it says in the ESV version. NIV would say, and have it to the full. 2 Peter 1:2-4 says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Life is not minimized or hindered through Jesus. It's opened up. All of a sudden, there's abundance available. And I think sometimes we tell the story the opposite way. We tell the story, yeah, I was living until 21. You know, I made a decision to choose Jesus. I was partying. I was drinking. I was sleeping around. I was living the life. I was at the club. I was, you know, and we tell this story and we're like, but then I gave my life to Jesus. Yeah, I'm forgiven. Free. I can do anything within the confines of religion. And, you know, we tell this story. It's like a sad thing that we made a decision for Jesus instead of, hey, I made a decision to choose Jesus. I came into relationship with him. And he said, you are filled now with power from inside because the Holy Spirit is now in you. You have power to overcome the things, everything that would come at you, the evil desires in the world. And through a growing relationship by reading my Bible and praying and growing with others in a church environment and group environments, then we all of a sudden can go back out in freedom into what the Bible refers to as pasture, right? Because he's using sheep as an illustration of coming in and out. Well, we're the sheep. We get to come in, be equipped, and celebrate what Jesus has done, but then we're sent out. We spend all of our time outside of here. We spend 70 minutes together every Sunday. It's very important that we're equipped and that we can go out empowered. Not minimized, not things aren't shrunken in. That's why I say, no matter where you're at today in your relationship with God, there's more. You haven't reached like finished. There's more to life. There's more to experience. There's more to enjoy. There's more to give. There's more to believe. Through Jesus, we experience an abundance of life. Like we're sent out, we're not brought into a penned-in system of organized religion. We're brought in and sent out to open pasture. How would God purpose to flow through your life to make Jesus famous in open territory? That's the scenario we live in. Full potential. Because of Jesus, number four, we experience life eternal. This is hard to grasp. Even for me, even for having made a decision to follow Jesus so many years ago. It's all about Jesus because he's the one who gives eternal life. Here's the full scheme of John 3. I'll give you verse 14 through 17. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 6:40 says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day." 1 John 5:11 through 13. "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Eternal life is something very mystical and unbelievable to picture. And you know, we go to the Wizard of Oz and Dorothy and the Yellow Brick Road. We're kind of confused. What does it look like up in heaven? And we try to prepare ourselves, but it's so beyond us. But we're promised when we make a decision to choose Jesus, when we lift Jesus up so others can make a decision to choose Jesus, something happens that's not just today. Like, it's eternal. It's a difference. When they choose Jesus, it is eternal. When you're on a ride at a theme park, I love, Dana's not into rides, my wife's name, for those of you who are new, Dana, she's in with the elementary today. When you choose Jesus, it's kind of like being on a ride at a theme park. You know, we'll go to different theme parks around the nation and have had fun doing that. And I want the extreme ride. I want to be shocked and surprised. But when they strap you in and click you in and check it twice and, you know, do all that they do, you do feel like you're going to die on the ride sometimes or throw up. But reality is, you know, you're clicked in. You're buckled in. You set your stuff that you had with you on the right-hand side. You're coming back to be dropped off there. You're going to get your stuff, and you're going to go on with your life, right? Although they want you to think that shark's going to come up and eat you, it's all just drama, you know? You go into an aquarium, and you see a big shark swim over. You feel like you're going to get eaten, but you're encased. You're safe. Life with Jesus is like that. See, we go through life, and although the momentary drama and intense, and we think we're going to get eaten by the shark of life, we think cancer's going to take us, we think, you know, our loss of our job is going to destroy us, and it's like, I'm going to go over the edge. But the reality is, God's saying, your life is way more than your momentary troubles. You, since you chose Jesus, now have eternal life. Like, the bad things that come about in life, which are going to come about, knowing you're just on the ride of life and God's got everything, not just now, but eternally covered for us, that's a huge stress relief. That's big time. Your life is in the hands of God when you choose Jesus, and eternally. So you kind of handle life with a little bigger perspective. I love having a relationship with Jesus because I know that my momentary trials are not going to overcome me, even if it takes my life. I have an eternal destiny. Should bring some huge peace to us. Final thought. Experience life with purpose. Because of Jesus, we can experience life with greater purpose. Hebrews 1 says it this way: "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." There's that word again, radiance. The same word that's translated manifold in the Ephesians passage, Jesus was the radiance while with us. Now it's the church's role to be the radiance. The church is the individuals. It's our individual's role to be the radiance. We have a purpose to lift up Jesus wherever we go. Jeremiah 29:11 puts it this way, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God has a plan for our lives, a purpose. Life just gets better as time goes on. And we get to experience it to its fullness through Jesus. You have a unique plan. Your story uniquely is going to bless somebody else. Jesus has a way to work through you because of choosing Jesus. And when you choose Jesus, God flows through you and transforms everybody in your circle of influence. God is sitting in heaven considering you today. Now, at this moment, He's wanting a growing relationship with each of us. And upon our choosing Jesus and beginning what is an eternal relationship with Him, God's saying, "I love it when a plan comes together." And He's talking about your life. At Open Life, we're all about Jesus because life's full potential is experienced through Jesus. God, I thank you for the opportunity we have to come and open your word. We've looked at a lot of passages that are on everybody's note sheet. They can go back and even look at these further and contemplate the reality even of eternal life or redemption or freedom. And God, even this element of realizing we're not just supposed to come in to the gated area through our relationship with you. We're supposed to come in and go out to pasture. You want us to come in and choose Jesus. You want us to enter into a relationship with you, but you want us to go out into the areas where we have a circle of influence, where we know people and can in some way, shape, or form lift up Jesus. As Moses was a demonstration to the Egyptians, and it said in that passage, he would lift up a snake and it would turn into a staff. And God, I just pray right now that you would allow us to see what is in our hands that reflect Jesus. Help us to discover even more detailed the purpose that you have for our lives. Let us understand we go out these doors not just being inspired, but with a purpose and a destiny upon each of us. And in eternal perspective, we know that our hope and our future and our plan is in your hands, and we surrender to that. If there's people that have yet to choose Jesus in this room, I pray that they would make that decision, that they would say, "Jesus, come into my life. I want eternal life. I want the hope that is in an eternal perspective and relationship with you. And I want to grow in a relationship with you. I want to discover what it is to follow Jesus." And I pray that, Lord, we would be able to help them on that journey. And we give you praise for them being here today and being able to make that decision. God, come and bless us. This morning while I was in prayer, Lord, you challenged me to pray for those that are sick here today to be healed. And I want to just do that. Your word does provide so many insights that through Jesus, you are our healer. And you walked around during your time on this earth and during your season of ministry for around 3 years. You healed the sick and gave sight to the blind, and the lame would walk. And I just pray that, God, the sickness and infirmity that's coming against people's lives here, or it's represented through people's lives here, maybe a family member facing cancer or a sick child or whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would show your healing power and that you would use us to lift up Jesus. You'd give us the courage to pray for someone, even out loud, just to talk to you on their behalf. And it's your name at risk, but God, you want to heal people. You want to deliver people. You want to free people. And we have opportunity for you to redeem people's health, transfer them from sick to healthy. And so we call out to you today to do that. We pray for the sick, that they would be well, so that you